Amen. Let us continue to worship our gracious God through the reading of His holy word as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This evening we continue in our study of Deuteronomy, and here in chapter 8, Moses is preparing the Israelites to take possession of the promised land and to prosper in that land once they have taken it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So far the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. As we look into your holy word and prepare to feast upon the body and blood of your Son, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ we pray. Amen. When a person suffers from amnesia, certain treatments can be attempted to try to help them recover their memory. Various therapies and techniques might be tried. Certain supplements may be taken. Certain types of foods are to be avoided and others are recommended. When it comes to the spiritual realm, we can suffer from amnesia as well. The tendency of God's people towards spiritual amnesia is seen throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament's record of ancient Israel, and especially here in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Twice in this chapter, in verse 2 and again in verse 18, God, through His servant Moses, explicitly calls on His people to remember. Remember Him and what He had done for them. And three times, in verses 11, 14, and 19, He calls on them not to forget Him and what He had done for them. So spiritual amnesia was a tendency for them, and it can be a tendency for us as well. Thankfully, God has provided a cure. These aren't trials. These aren't tests. There aren't placebos mixed in. It's a veritable cure for spiritual amnesia. We may summarize that cure with the term means of grace. That's God's cure for spiritual amnesia. Means of grace. The means by which God graciously shows us His grace. Reminds us of His gracious character and His deeds of grace on our behalf, and communicates His grace, makes us know His grace, makes us feel His grace, transforms us by His grace. There were means of grace in the Old Testament, and there are means of grace for us today. So let us consider this cure for spiritual amnesia and what it looked like first for ancient Israel, and then let us consider what it looks like for us today. First, spiritual amnesia and its cure for the ancient Israelites. Moses again was seeking to prepare the next generation to enter the promised land, to do something that he himself was not going to be able to do. God wasn't going to allow him to do it because of his sin and his impatience. God was teaching him and all of us a lesson about impatience and anger. Moses was going to get to see the promised land, but not enter into the promised land. God was going to raise up another leader, Joshua, to lead the people of God into the promised land. That signified Moses wasn't a complete deliverer. Another was needed to supplement his efforts. As Andrew Murray used to say, Jesus is the complete deliverer. He is both our Moses who leads us out of bondage and our Joshua who leads us into the promised land. But Moses demonstrated selflessness here in that he wanted to prepare the next generation to enter the promised land and enjoy that privilege that he himself was not going to enjoy. And what we see him doing here in Deuteronomy and in the later parts of Deuteronomy is this selfless deed of preparing the next generation to enter the promised land because he loved them and because he wanted God's name to be glorified. So he's preparing them to enter the promised land. And he knew that they would potentially forget God. He knew his own heart. He knew the heart of his fellow Israelites and the heart of his fellow man. And so he knew the tendency to forget God and his grace. And so he's seeking to encourage the Israelites not to forget God and his grace once they have entered into the promised land. So he said, "You must be intentional about remembering the Lord." Remembering the Lord and what He has done for you. You mustn't forget that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. You didn't do that in your own strength. You're not the one who brought all those plagues on Egypt. You're not the one who drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. That was the Lord who did those things. and led you out of Egypt with so much gold and fine linen and all the rest that you could barely carry it all. That was the Lord who delivered you and prospered you as you left the house of bondage. And you mustn't forget that it was the Lord who provided for you in the wilderness, fed you with manna from heaven and water from the rock, and kept you clothed and healthy, tested you, disciplined you, and taught you to walk in His ways. You mustn't forget the Lord's word to you, His statutes by which you live and by which you will prosper in the land that you are going to possess. And you mustn't forget the Lord's promises to you. As you prepare to enter the land and take it, don't forget what is in store for you if you depend upon the Lord, all of the rich blessings that await you, which the Lord your God has promised to give you. And once you are there, enjoying that good land, you mustn't forget that it was the Lord your God who brought you to this place and provided you the power to get all of the wealth that you enjoy. As Moses said in verse 17, "Beware, beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." It reminds me of the old saying that religion begets prosperity, but very often the child turns around and devours the mother. Don't forget who it is that has caused you to prosper. It is the Lord your God. Pride forgets. Humility remembers. Pride takes credit. Humility gives thanks. And as we've seen in our study of the Pentateuch, God provided means by which humility and gratitude towards God could be cultivated. The primary means was His Word. His word to His people, first given through Moses in terms of the Exodus and the Israelites, and then written down for their posterity from generation to generation. The word of God, that was the primary means by which God would nourish the souls of His people and empower them to be His light to the nations. As Moses said in verse 3, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The Israelites were to know God's word, follow God's word, worship according to God's word, and teach God's word to the next generation. It shouldn't come as a surprise then that when the Savior of Israel was tempted by Satan in the wilderness to turn stones into bread, Jesus responded by saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The written word was a primary means of grace for Israel, and thus part of God's cure for their spiritual amnesia. When they would get off and start thinking their own faults and doing what was right in their own eyes, the word of God would come and refresh their memory about who God was and who they were in light of their relationship with God and all that God had done for them and all that God was calling them to do in light of what He had done for them. The written word was a primary means of grace and thus part of God's cure for their spiritual amnesia. In addition, God instituted rites for the people of Israel, ceremonies whereby they were to remember their Maker and Redeemer. The Sabbath day was a weekly reminder that God had made them and redeemed them. Circumcision reminded them of God's grace to Abraham and His grace to all who trust in the God of Abraham. The Passover meal reminded them of the Exodus, how God had delivered them through the blood of the Passover lamb. And the other annual feasts reminded them of other ways that God had delivered them and provided for them. All of these means serve to remind the Israelites of their God. You say, how could you ever forget? How could they ever forget God? Think of all the wonderful things He had done for them. Well, Monday's coming. The grind of the work week is coming. The mundane, as some call it, of the work week is coming. These means serve to remind them of God and His grace to them. They were God's appointed cure for their spiritual amnesia. Well, today we can also suffer from spiritual amnesia, and our gracious God has provided us a cure through the means of grace that we enjoy as the New Testament church. As in the Old Testament, the Word of God is still central. The good news of Jesus Christ calls us to remember who we were apart from Christ and what God has done for us, how He has delivered us, how through Christ we have a greater exodus than that of the Old Testament Israelites, how God has delivered us through the grace of His Son. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul told the Christians in Ephesus, remember. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so as part of our worship of God, and as part of the God-given cure for the spiritual, for our spiritual amnesia, we read such words and we preach such words and pray and confess such words that bring to the fore of our minds who we were apart from Christ and who we are in Christ and through His great and gracious deliverance of us. And we sing such words, don't we? We were talking about that in our home earlier this week, how singing things and setting things to music help us remember them. And Sally was sharing a little history lesson that she had learned that was set to music when she was in school, and the teacher said, we're going to set this to music and you'll never forget it. And she's never forgotten it. Music helps us remember, and biblical hymns help us remember God's great grace to us. Look back for just a moment, if you will, at the hymns we've sung tonight, just for a moment. And think about how they take the truth of God's Word and call us to remember God and what He has done for us. In the first hymn we sang, in the first verse, we sang this: let us love and sing and wonder, let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder, He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us with His blood. He has brought us nigh to God. How quickly we can forget all that and live as if that's not real. Well, this hymn takes that glorious gospel truth and it says, remember this. Remember what your God has done for you. Remember how you've been washed. All your sins have been washed away with the blood of God and of Christ, and He has brought you near to God. You don't live separated from God as a Christian. You live near to God as a Christian, in fellowship with God because of the blood that has been shed for you. And in the second hymn, in the third verse, we sing, neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Oh, how we need to be reminded of those glorious truths. And then in the third hymn, in the third verse, we sing, Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love. We are prone to live like we have forgotten these glorious truths. But such hymns help us remember and live in the power of those great gospel truths. Each worshipful Sunday reminds us of our Lord's resurrection on this day, the first day of the week, and our victory over sin and the grave through His triumphant resurrection. Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost remind us annually of the Lord's incarnation, birth, death, resurrection, and ascension, and of the Holy Spirit's powerful outpouring and ministry in our lives. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday reminds us each year that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that every human life is precious and worth protecting, and that we must speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. And the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper remind us of our union with Christ, our new life in Him, and what He has done for us. Indeed, what did our Lord say when He instituted the meal we are about to celebrate together? Do this in remembrance of me. He knows us so well. He knows our tendency towards spiritual amnesia, towards forgetting His grace and living as if He had never been born, as if He had never died, as if He had never rose again. Living as if He doesn't desire communion with us. Living as if we have to justify ourselves and make it on our own. He knows us well, better than we know ourselves. So He's given us this meal to help us remember and to celebrate and commune with Him and one another, such that our spiritual amnesia fades and our memory and experience of Him empower us to live with Him and for His glory. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.